My name is Greg. I'm one of the pastors here, and we are in a series that we're calling Six Ways to Ruin Your Life. And if you weren't here last week, you may be thinking the same thing that all of us were thinking last week, like, oh, this is going to be really encouraging, right? Glad I showed up here so a pastor can tell me how to wreck my life. But it's a play on that. If you think about how much God really loves us, how much, like you were singing, Tessa, how much He is for us, how much He cares about us, that God wants to ruin anything in us that's ruining us. He wants to take anything in us that is keeping us from experiencing the joy that He wants for us, the hope that He wants for us, the peace, this life that He wants for us. He wants to wreck us for that way of thinking, that way of living, so that He can invite us in, encourage us in to the right way of thinking and living. And last week we started by talking about being wholehearted, about how God wants us to love Him with our whole heart and our whole mind and our whole strength. And that word holos, which is a Greek word that we get our word whole from, it has this understanding that's different than what I used to think that meant, because I thought about loving God with all my heart and all my mind and all my strength. And like, man, that's exhausting. Like, I don't know if I can do that actually, because this mind, though it is used to be a factory of some beautiful things for God, sometimes this mind wanders off, and this heart, though there are times that it's all in for God, there are other times that I feel it wandering. And so like, I just don't know if I can do that. Love Him with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength and all the time. I can't. But that word whole is something different. And the word whole means that God took this heart that had some brokenness and fracture, and He's got the ability, even when it still gets torn and ripped and my mind that wanders, He has the ability to pull that back together again, to holos, make it whole again. So with that heart touched by God, with this mind redeemed by God, with this being that I am restored by God, I can offer that back as a gift to Him. And this week we're talking about God wanting us close to Him. That sometimes through this life, I know for me, that there are times for me where I go, I really feel close to God right now. And other times that I'm going, what happened here? I'm whether the distractions or life or whatever, it's just that I feel a bit distant from God at times. And God wants us close to Him. And I know this for me, that the best conversations that I ever have, and the ones I look back on and go, man, these were rich, amazing conversations, it's when I recognized how present God was in the middle of the conversation. And the best of worship for me, it's when I get lost in it. When somebody's singing, or I'm singing, or maybe I'm tearing up to the point where I can't get words out anymore, just because I know in that moment I'm realizing God is right here with me. Or that time where, if anybody else is like this is me. I'm not talking about worship in a place like this, but just driving down the road and you just go crazy. You're like, you're singing to the top of your lungs and you sound better than Danny Gokey on the radio. Anybody been there? Like, I'm just going off and singing because it feels like the Holy Spirit, like I know, doesn't feel like it, like I know the Holy Spirit is in the cab with me. I'm going down the road and I recognize His presence with me. I think God wants us to understand that He's right there close to us. I believe He's here right now. And some of us recognize that and some of us don't, but He is hovering over, taking up residence, dwelling right here with us. And with that in mind, let's pray together. Lord, we're about ready to open up Your Word and to open up some words that I'm just asking You by Your Spirit to attend to, and then to seal them on our hearts. Touch our minds with this stuff. And make us aware again of Your presence again, Your closeness and proximity to us. We pray this in the power of the name that we love, in Jesus' name, amen. So growing up, my grandparents, they lived about 15, 20 minutes away from where I was growing up. And when I say 15 minutes, I mean that's when my dad was driving. And 20 minutes is when my mom was driving, if you get the picture. My dad could drive, well, mom maybe could have driven that fast, but she didn't. But we would go over to Grandma and Grandpa's house often, either the Malls or the Vandermeer household. And when we went over to the Vandermeer household, my Grandpa Vandermeer and Grandma Vandermeer's house, we would often find ourselves doing one of two things. We were either sitting at the table playing board games or cards with my grandmother, or we were out in the garage or down in Grandpa's workshop with him. He had two workshops, which I just think is super cool. And he came by it naturally because my great-grandfather was a carpenter. My grandfather was a carpenter. His brother was a carpenter. My dad was a carpenter. They called it Vandermeer and Sons. So the Vandermeer and Son kept rolling down to the generation that is me. I thought I was going to go into it. Almost did, but ended up in ministry. And so for me, though, there was this pull, and for my brothers, there was this pull to learn all things carpentry. And out in my grandpa's garage, there was the table saw and a big, huge lathe, and there was a bandsaw that was out there, and all things carpentry out there, tools that were in the built-in cabinets and screws and nails and just everything that was out there. And then down in the basement, there was these other tools that were down there. A scroll saw, and there was a joiner down there. A smaller lathe for finishing off stuff. And again, tools that were just all over the place, and a potbelly stove to keep it warm down there. And in the wintertime, there was this little box with a silver handle on it and silver clasp on the end. And in the summertime, that same box would be out in the garage because that's where we would go in the winter. I mean, in the summertime. And when we opened up that box, what was inside of it was a saw just my size and a hammer right fitted for me, and the screwdriver set and a little tape measure, all of the stuff that allowed me to replicate Grandpa. And as I remember learning to make sawdust, if you will. Some of us are gifted at making sawdust. And we would make sawdust by sawing these boards and cutting things out in the garage. Or we would learn to hammer. And so being in close proximity to Grandpa, 15, 20 minutes away, and also being close to Grandpa led me down a road that I could, at least in this way, become like Grandpa, to be like him. That's what happens, doesn't it? When we get close to people, we become like them. I remember a good friend of mine that went off to the NFL and played football, and this guy was a bruiser, and listen to this guy. He used to bench press right around 600 pounds. He's huge. And you would think if there's anybody that is going to influence people and not be influenced by people, it'd be a guy like that. But he said, there is no such thing as not being influenced. When you get around people, they begin to rub off on you. When you get close to them, when you're in proximity to them, even if you don't want them to rub off on you, they begin to rub off on you. And you can talk like them, act like them, begin to think like them. That's what happens when we get close to people. So here's a question that I've been thinking a lot about. How close is God? Like, how close is he? Because Grandma and Grandpa, they're 15 or 20 away, and it seems like everything that we do in life, we're going somewhere. There's a proximity, there's a distance, there's a time that it takes us to get there. So how close is God? Like, how close to us is he? And some of us, we would say what I've thought and said many times, that, well, he's feeling pretty close to me today. Like today I feel real close to God, but tomorrow might be different. And a month ago it was different. I felt really distant from God. So what is it? Is it that God is determining his distance from us based on us, how we feel? Is it my emotions, what I'm feeling today and what I'm feeling tomorrow? I'm up, I'm down. Is that going to determine how close God is to me? Or is it God who determines how close he is to us, and we either recognize it or don't? We're either in tune with his presence or we're not. Which one is it? And I think when we read through the Bible, when we look through history in his relationship with people, what we find is that God is the standard. He's steady. He's unchanging. And we could roll it back all the way back to the days of Moses, early on in the biblical story, and see a transition that's happening from this guy named Moses, who the people recognized. And whether you know anything about Moses or not, just know this, that Moses was this guy that people recognize. This guy, he hangs out with God. He talks to God. He's really close to God. And God was modeling a relationship with him to the other people, showing that I'm a God that's with you. And he made it clear to Moses that he's not leaving the people Israel. I am close to my people. And the transition from Moses' leadership over to the next leader, Joshua, it happened in such a way that he was making it clear, God made it clear to Joshua, that as I have been to Moses, so I'm going to be to you. As I have been to the Israelites, I am going to continue to be. I'm going to be close to them. The scripture is found in Joshua chapter 1. And I want to read it here as we think through. You can pull it up on your phone, your iPad. You can just listen if you'd like. It's found in page 330 in the Bibles that are provided if you want to follow along. But listen to the word. You won't hear it, but listen for the word close. And then you'll hear where God's saying, that's who I am. I determine my proximity to my people. Because it says, after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot. As I promised Moses, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord, your God, will be with you wherever you go. That operative word in there, it's a beautiful word. And the operative word that God's trying to tell us is close. I'm close. I'm going nowhere. I'm right there with you. Wherever you go, that's where I'm going. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And as I was with the people, I'm going to be with them. And I am that. We jump forward like 700 years, and if we wanted to jump through each one of the stories where God made himself known, and we could spend days and days and days showing that this is who God is, that his presence is always there with his people, that he's there, he's close. But we jump like 700 years forward, and what we find is that the Assyrian army had come in with great power and taken away the northern nations of God's people and brought them off into captivity. And to make matters worse, the Babylonian people, they were rising in power, not yet as strong as the Assyrian people, but they were soon to eclipse the Assyrian people in their brute power. And they were posing between the two of them major threats to the people of Israel, major threats to their way of living, their way of doing life, their way of raising their kids, their way of worshiping. Everything that was their way was up for grabs. And God spoke to a go-between named Isaiah. Spoke to Isaiah and said, impress upon the people who I am. And listen to the people and come back to me. Tell them who I am. Because what they are facing and what they are about to face, they need to know, again, this operative word, I'm not going anywhere. No matter what storm hits you, no matter what waters come over you, no matter what fire comes blazing up underneath you, know I'm close to you. I've got you. And here's the words that he spoke to Isaiah in chapter 43. Tell this to the people. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord, your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Again, God's saying, no matter what you face, no matter what you go through, no matter the storm, no matter the fire, no matter the flood that comes your direction, I'm close. Take heart, do not fear. I've got this and I have you. Now we fast forward another 700 years or so, and we find ourselves in the day of Jesus, and we find this amazing, maybe the most amazing story that this earth knows, save perhaps the resurrection itself. It's the incarnation of God, the inbreaking of God into our world. And I love the way Eugene Peterson said it. He said, God moved into our neighborhood. That Jesus broke into this world and God moved into our neighborhood, like right next door to us, close to us. And Jesus proved that the proximity of God is close to us as he walked among us and he ate and he drank and then he sat down, had conversation. He laughed. He sat with a group of people around a tomb one time and cried. He did life with, and he hung out close to. He had deep relationships with those people that were close to him. John, maybe 9 years old, up to Peter, maybe 21, 22 years old, investing in them through that lifetime. Philip at one point, one of his close friends, Jesus said to him, to have seen me is to have seen God. To know me is to know God. As I have been, so is God. As I have sat with you and talked to you and been personal with you and been right close with you, I'm showing you who God is. And then Jesus, this is amazing. Jesus, even before he leaves the earth, he wants to make it crystal clear to us one last time that I'm close. When Jesus said these words right here to his disciples, he said, therefore go. And make disciples, which is a word for students, make followers of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, I promise, I am good for my word. Surely, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. I'm always there. I'm going nowhere. I love that. And the idea of being close to this God, always, not just when I'm feeling it, but he's always there with me, always close to me, always available to me and to you. It's an incredible thought, mind-blowing thought. Especially when we are time and distance sort of people. Especially when we begin to think about proximity. Like, okay, I was close to my grandma and grandpa, but it was 15, 20 minutes to get there. And I can get somewhere and then be with, but that God is always with, like, me? And with you, always there, ready, available, ready to pull us. That's incredible. Especially when you start to think about the size of what he's created. We have this universe that we live in. And we have a galaxy that we're in. This galaxy is between, scientists are telling us, somewhere between 100,000 and 150,000 light years across is this thing that we call the Milky Way. And a light year, how do you even measure that? Well, they have. Light traveling at the speed of 186,000 miles per second. That's ripping through the universe pretty fast. So how far can it travel in a year? It's just short of 6 trillion miles a year that light travels. Our galaxy is 150 of those? 100,000 of those? 6 trillion, 150,000 times across? That's massive. I mean, like, this is so huge. And when we think about that in light of the universe, we go, well, it's not that big in terms of the universe. Because the knowable, the seeable, the understandable part of the universe, the most recent statistics on it will tell us that it's somewhere around 93 billion light years in diameter. 93 billion light years in diameter. So you take 6 trillion miles in just 1 year that light travels. This is 93 billion of those. 93 billion, 6 trillion miles a year. Like, we can't get there, right? You can't get there. I can't get there. I don't understand that. I get 15 or 20. I can get that. I can get Wyoming, Michigan. I just can't get that. It's too big. It's way too big. Especially when I realize I'm just a speck of dust. You're just a speck of dust. I'm this speck of dust. Can you even put a speck of dust on a speck of dust? In this greater thing called the universe. And in Psalm 8, this guy was having one of those moments. And I hope you've experienced it. And if you haven't, I hope that you are in that place where you're stepping in. You're here today, maybe for the first time going, I want to know about God. I would love an experience of God, because he was having one of those where he recognized God is right here with me right now. And not like he wasn't always, but right now I'm recognizing it. And he was looking up into the sky. He didn't have a telescope. He didn't have satellites. He didn't have the technology we have to say 93 billion miles in diameter. He just had his eyes and he's looking up into the sky and he's going, wow. Look at this night sky. It's just, it's huge. How far away are these stars? And he began to think about the one who was close to him. And he spoke to him. And he said, when I consider the stars, when I consider the sun and the moon that you have set into place, and I think about me, who am I? Who am I? That you're mindful of me. You know me by name. And you actually care for me. You love me. That's a wow moment. A close in proximity to God moment where you're recognizing it. And he's going, I'm loved. Out of this massive, he's got me by name and by story. So the other day I was with a good friend of mine and we were having dinner together, catching back up. I haven't seen him for a little while, and we're having a conversation about this stuff that we're talking about right now. And I just asked him a question that I've been thinking a lot about. Like, where do I sense God pulling me into his presence, to just kind of wake me up to the illusion that I sometimes have, that sometimes I think God's close and sometimes I think he's not. That's just an illusion. God's always close. It's whether or not I'm acknowledging it, recognizing it. And I just wonder where God's trying to wake me up. If you would think about, he's trying to ruin my lack of sensitivity to his presence. Like, where is he pulling me? And so I asked him, like, where do you sense God pulling you close right now. I love this guy, and he gave me permission to tell his story and to give his name. I don't think giving his name matters, though. The story does, though, because it's some of our stories. It's where some of us get once in a while, and he's been there for a long time. But he said, I don't. Like, where do you feel God pulling you close? I don't. Where do you sense God wants you closer to himself? And he teared up as he was sitting there in the restaurant with me and said, I don't. Because, and he told me something I didn't know, but he told me about something 4 years earlier that he just felt like God was asking him to do, and he was disobedient in it and just wasn't willing to do it. And, or he felt like he was disobedient in that moment. And he said, I just wonder if God's just disappointed with me and doesn't really want me close. So I just want you to hang on to that for a minute. So I was on the phone this past week with Pat. She's a member of our church. And John, her husband's been in the hospital, got a diagnosis, and it was severe enough that he had to stay in the hospital in Tampa until he got ready enough to be able to be transported back up here yesterday and to find his way over to the hospital that is Spectrum into the emergency to be admitted. And we were talking, and it took her a while to actually have a conversation with me. She said, when I get my emotions together, we can talk. And so it happened, and we're in a conversation together, and then we prayed together. And our prayer, it looked something like this, that we were praying with faith, knowing who God is, that God is a miracle worker, that his hand has not diminished in his power, his arm has not shrunk, and when Jesus was touching people, they were getting healed, and we were praying for that. We believe that God has the power to speak, because he did to a man that was dead and in a tomb, and he called that guy out. His name was Lazarus, and Lazarus came out. Every cell in his body had ceased to function in the way that our cells do when they're alive. They just stopped. They weren't speaking with one another. No synapses of any nerves were going off. The blood had ceased to course through his veins. And God spoke, Jesus spoke into that, and everything came into alignment, and he came back to life. And so we were praying that just the number of cells that are out of alignment, that just come back in again, and we were praying for that. And then at the end of the prayer, I was just thinking about, this God is close to us. When the waters come over you, they won't overtake you. When the waters rage, they won't sweep you away. When the fires come, and they come, don't they? I mean, we know they come. This world that we live in, there's about 100% chance, right? If Jesus doesn't come back first, we're all going out the way. Everybody else before us has gone out. We are not going to make it all the way through this world alive, that we will face something in our life. It just happens. And I was thinking about that, and I prayed this. I just prayed and said, God, there are a lot of things that you can do and have done. There is stuff that is yet to be done that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no tongue has yet confessed that you are prepared to do. And we believe that to be true, but there is one thing you cannot do. You cannot fail Pat and John. You can't fail them because it's not in your nature. It's not who you are. There's a comfort in that. Though you go through the storm, I'll be with you. I'll be close in the middle of that. And then I think about the hundreds of people. I don't know anymore how many. And those amazing conversations with them that I've had conversation with so many different people, so many of you, and I've listened to your story, and I've come to believe every single one of us that has had an experience of Christ in our life, we have the exact same stories. Our details a little different, but our stories are the same. It's the same story. We have high points and really high points. We have low points and really low points. There's these mountaintop things that happen in our lives, and there's these valleys that we go through, and it's this. This life is good and hard and good and hard and amazing and painful. We all have it. And for those of us that know Christ, there's always a moment, and then another, and then another, and then another, where we sense God just breaking in, Sometimes it's on the mountaintop. Sometimes it's in the worst experience of our life that God breaks in like he did for the psalmist who said in Psalm 139, if I go up to the heavens, like I'm at the pinnacle, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths and I'm lying in it, somehow you love me so much and you've never left. You made that promise that you're there with me. If I find myself on the far side of the sea, like I'm going over the edge, I am losing it. You're there with me. If I'm in utter darkness, don't even know where to take my next step, you're there with me. Where could I ever go that you're not present? The question he already answered, nowhere. You're always close. Every one of our stories that I've ever listened to where Christ broke in, there was this experience that we recognized God for who he was. He's a God that's right here with me. Who am I? In a 93 billion expanse of light year universe that you know me by name, you know, and you show up in my valley or in my mountaintop. It's amazing. And I just want to say something to three of us here this morning. And when I say three of us, I think it's going to cover almost all of us here this morning in some way. And the first one is the person I want to speak to the most. And maybe it's the part of you, maybe every one of us that's here that can go where my friend went, sitting in the restaurant, that we just hear again the truth again about God again. Just hear it again. Because it was powerful in the restaurant talking to him and seeing him ingest the truth about Christ as we just shared together back and forth. If you're in that place going, I don't know. I just don't know if God's calling me close because, man, I've been living with this thing for years. And I just can't let it go. I just want you to know if you're in Christ, he already let it go. He already let it go. And it says in the Old Testament, it says that his mercies are new every single morning, that they never run out. It's like he keeps a factory of mercy that just keeps coming and coming. And he's got a new one every single morning for you. Every time that you're holding on to it, just he's wanting to give that mercy to you. The word grace, he just wants to shower it on you. That he spoke that this is God saying this. I am he who blots out your sin. I cover it. And why? For me? Yeah, that's only part of it. He says, I blot out your sin for my own sake. The reason I'm close to you is because I'm close to you. The reason I'm next to you is because you matter to me. We matter. And I take care of your sin for me too. Because I long for this. And I want us to hear the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That for God so loved this world. He was so crazy about this world. So crazy about every one of us. It's like, I get how the psalmist could say, I don't understand, but I am sure grateful for it. That in this massive universe, when I consider the work of your hand, that I can't even comprehend that you love me. That he's saying, I sent my son to this world for that stuff, to take care of it so that you could be free from it. You could be free. And when you're free in Christ, you are free indeed. When you think about the condemnation and you think about me operating that way, no, that's not who I am. Therefore, now let me speak this over you. There's no condemnation for you, not with me. I'm close. And for those of us that are here today that are in that place, or maybe we're going to get hit with it, and this just might be a precursor for us, where we just say, man, the storm is just raging, and I'm being overtaken, it feels. The fire is just cooking underneath me, and we just need to know that God is close, that he's saying, I'm going nowhere. I'm going nowhere. I'm right here with you. And what you're facing is too much for you to face alone. I know. But I made you. I redeemed you. I'm your Savior. I'm the one that created you for this. And I promise I'll be with you through this. I'll see you through it. And maybe for some of us here today, this is just the beginning for us of an incredible journey. That you're in the front end of saying, I've known about God. I've heard of God. I've heard there was a cross, and I've heard about something called the resurrection that Jesus came out, but I've never met him yet. I've heard of him with my ears, but I'm yet to see him with my life. And maybe today's the day for you to begin to say, I'm going to explore that. I'm just going to open myself up to the possibility that this God is really whom he said he is. And that these people all around me that have experienced this, what I'm speaking about today, that if that's real, I want to taste. I want to see how good God is. Let's pray together. Lord, there are those of us here, maybe all of us, that have been in that place at times where we just wonder, are you just sorely disappointed with us? Does God really want me? Do you really want us close? Thank you for making it so clear from the beginning to the end of this book that reveals us and you in relationship, that you are a God that actually forgives, that restores and renews and rebuilds, and you do it not just because it's good for us, but you do it because you're a relational God that wants to be close with us. Thank you for the promise for those of us that are facing storms. I'm with you. And thank you for the invitation into a relationship with you. Some of us, 1+, 2+ on the positive scale, just feeling like, man, this is a mountaintop I'm on. Life is good. And you show up and bless us in that. And others of us, it wasn't until we hit a -2 under this thing, just go, man, I just feel like my life is train wreck, and you show up and go, here I am. Your call on us to be in relationship with you is a gift that we just receive, open-handed, open-hearted, saying, take this stuff that I just don't want to live with anymore, this guilt, this shame, and remove it and replace it with your hope and your joy and your peace, that I might, by the power of your Holy Spirit, live the life that I've always been meant to live. In your name we pray. Amen.